Okay, happy Friday, everybody. Thanks for joining us today with Jerry Bird. And he is going to help us understand how he presented College Hunks hauling junk to his clients. So with that, go ahead, Jerry, take it away.
Okay, hey, everybody. Thanks, Tracy. You know, before we get started, I think this could well be even better than College Hunks hauling junk, and my client might be a case study in how not to quickly dismiss or not pay attention to a potential client. And I'll kind of give just a quick overview about how this kind of happened. I had a couple of meet-the-zoors, and they were pretty successful, but this guy did not come to my meet-the-zor and didn't know who he was. But somebody that was at my meet-the-zor actually told him, like a week later, hey, you ought to call Jerry Bird. He can probably help you find a business. So out of the blue, I'm driving in my car one day, and a young man calls up, Chris Carpenter's his name, and he calls up and said, you know, I got your name from this other guy, and he said you might could help me look at business opportunities. And I said, sure, I'll be glad to do that, and kind of went through, you know, what FranNet does a little bit. And I said, tell me a little bit about yourself. Well, he is a young, recently graduated from the University of Tennessee, 25 years old, married, working at Bojangles as a shift leader, making about $30,000 a year, and all this kind of came out in the early conversation. And so I'm already starting to kind of think, you know, well, I want to help this guy, but I'm not sure where it might go. I said, well, let me send you some stuff and call me back when you get it. Well, he was just real eager. He read everything I sent him, called back quickly. I sent him a recorded webinar that we had just recently done and got him to fill out the PFA. Well, when I got the PFA, of course, you know, you read the whole PFA and all the information that's with it. But basically, it still looked to me like, you know, he was really going to struggle with funding and financial situation. So I called him up and I said, Chris, help me understand how you think you're going to fund this business. And he said, oh, I didn't tell you that. I just inherited a lot of money from my grandmother. So don't just assume because somebody didn't fill out the PFA correctly that, you know, there might not be a potential client there. So basically, we got off to a great start, kind of being young and everything. All he really knew was food and retail, as most of them do kind of at that age. And I said, so what is it you think you're interested in? And basically he said, I think I want to look at something, you know, in the food industry, something that's growing fast, got a lot of potential, maybe on the ground floor. And so I kind of immediately, even though I hadn't built a business model yet, started thinking about Zoop and maybe, you know, Minchies or whatever. And but anyway, I said, we'll get this built and everything, and then we'll go over. Well, as I got the business model built off of the consultation that we had in the QSR, it really became apparent that he really was interested in building something that would have a wonderful exit strategy, something that would have, you know, growth potential, et cetera. And I'll get into all that in a few minutes. But so I basically kind of took it from there and kind of expanded his horizons and told him to keep, you know, his mind open as we go through some different things. So I basically presented Zoop and College Hunks hauling junk and nine round is a multiple unit opportunity for him because he's also a fitness buff and likes fitness. So as we got into the thing, what I found out was his profile, number one, was a belonger achiever, but he was really, really strong in the societal area as well. So that really fits the mold for College Hunks hauling junk really well, as it does the other two as well. But he was looking for something that would be owner-operator now and pretty much forever because he is young. He wanted to be able to work out of a facility and not do basically at-home stuff. He wanted to have a facility, whether it be a warehouse or an office. He wanted something that he could grow quickly, add employees as needed so he can control that cost. He wanted to offer a service rather than a product. As he got more into the investigative state, he kind of tended to go towards the service piece of the business. And he wanted to be the person that made the difference. So he wanted to offer a service business that really took him and used him as the face of the business and made the difference in the business. So he wanted to have something that was growing, that had a real high success rate, whether it was young or not young. He still wanted to have a high success rate, not a lot of closures in the franchise opportunity. So we looked at that. He was looking at something with low to moderate startup cost. And if he needed to, if he was going to go in the food area, which I think he was kind of already getting off of that, but if he was still going to be interested in that, he actually had gone out and kind of corralled a potential investor as well that might help him in that way if he decided he wanted to go there. But College Hunks, Hall & Junk started off at number three in the first week of the validation and investigation, and just kind of steadily worked its way up the totem pole as he was going forward. So he wanted something, because he is young, he wanted something that was going to be fun but stable, something that had a lot of culture. And if any of you have been to a College Hunks, Hall & Junk Discovery Day, there's a lot of culture there. Nick and Omar, the two owners, as well as all the support folks. I mean, it's almost like a Google kind of a setting. I mean, they're all just sitting around chatting and planning and brainstorming and everything. And then you got Nick, that's the entrepreneur. And then you've got Omar, that's more of the let me think about this, let me see if I can plan this out kind of a thing. So it's a great teamwork effort on their part, and he really bought into that like crazy. And he likes to develop teams. He likes to develop employees because of what he had done at Bojangles. He was that team leader, and so he was kind of used to doing that. So College Hunks, Hall & Junk just kind of kept moving up the totem pole. He real quickly wanted to go visit some franchisees. And early on, I kind of thought it was maybe too quick, but worked out well. He went over to Charleston, South Carolina. The new owner over there is also a recent college graduate. So they bonded great and got along well, and so that went good. And then he met Nick and Omar, of course, at Discovery Day, and loved that. But he really bought into the branding of the company. Early on, too, I gave him a copy of Nick and Omar's book, The Effortless Entrepreneur. If you don't have some copies, I mean, I'm sure they'll send them to you because they got boxes of them. But I brought some back when I came back from Discovery Day, and I just handed them out to Chris, and he read that book pretty quickly and got excited about the young guys doing well and the teamwork and everything. So with that being said, then he started really digging into the meat of the business, and he really liked the idea of getting two franchises for one, not only the junk removal piece, but also the moving piece. And he also wanted to kind of control a market. So he talked to them, and they were very receptive to giving him what I want to say is, quote, more than a normal territory, to let him control that market. So he's got Knoxville, Tennessee, but he is the king of College Hunks, Hall & Junk in Knoxville, Tennessee. So he won't have any competitor next door or across town or whatever. He'll be able to grow that whole market like he wants to. So when it was really all said and done, he really bought the dream of College Hunks, Hall & Junk, even though, you know, they are successful. They got over 50 franchises out there. They got the franchisees already doing over $1 million. About $1.5 million is the top performer. And he talked to him for a long time on the phone. The average franchisee is netting at the bottom line about $150,000. And that doesn't count the corporate store that's even doing much more than that. So not only did he buy the dream, but he validated all that with success from the franchisees. And, again, it was just a wonderful validation thing. So it all rolled through the whole process really quickly. And, like I say, College Hunks, Hall & Junk really moved from the bottom of the totem pole up to the top probably within 3 weeks of starting the whole process. First one to fall off was Nine Round. And I was kind of surprised at that because of his fitness interest. But he really stuck with Zoop and College Hunks, Hall & Junk. And then about 4 weeks into it, kind of dropped Zoop and stuck with College Hunks, Hall & Junk, and that's my story, Tracy. How's that?
Great. Thanks, Jerry. Anybody have any questions for Jerry?
Jerry, it's Ted.
Yeah.
I'll just say this. I appreciate it because I feel guilty. Nick Friedman's my cousin, and I haven't sold one yet, so this maybe will help me a little.
Yeah, I tell you, if you ever go visit with him, I mean, it's just it's like going to, you know, Google or any of those little high-techy kind of things. I mean, they just got a neat new office, and the atmosphere is it really is contagious. I mean, you know, made me want to buy one. I'm an old man, you know, so I think it's well worth looking at and showing. I think the potential's there for the clients. It's not something that you can kind of say, I think you can do well here, because you can validate that you can do well. The guy in Atlanta, like I say, just down the road, he's doing about $1.5 million, and his net bottom line is pretty huge. So, and he was very, very open to talking to Chris and helping him understand all the, you know, ins and outs of the business and what you had to do to get started and everything else.
Hey, Jerry, before you worked with Chris, have you showed it to people of all ages?
I have not. He's the first person I've showed it to.
Right. Pretty good track record so far.
Yeah, it's a good track record so far. Yeah, and as you know, Ted, we talk about this a lot. I'm really, really selective, so I don't have my, quote, five or six or seven horses. I go the whole spectrum. So, you know, whether it be supercuts or whether it be college hunks, all in junk, I really try to find ones that I think are the right fits for the clients. And so I'm just kind of all over that ballpark. And this is the first person that I really kind of felt like it was a really good fit for. I might end up showing it here soon to somebody over in Alabama, but I haven't quite decided about that yet. I don't know.
Jerry, this is Harriet.
Yeah, hi, Harriet. How are you?
Hi. I guess I have a...
You're not going to ask me, can you make $100,000?
No, actually, you already answered that. So I really love it. You're putting it right out there. Now, my bias, I guess, and I'd love to hear your take on this, is based upon the culture of the franchise, the very, you know, that Google type thing that you're talking about.
Yeah.
This is a young person's business. Is it going to result?
Yes and no. I'd say they buy into it because of what I mentioned earlier. But I think if somebody gets like me, you know, the first time I saw this whole concept, and I'm an old guy, so I can kind of relate to what your question is. You know, I hated the name. I just thought, God, what a stupid name. But the more I've gotten around them, I mean, it's contagious. I mean, you just kind of start to buy into it, and you learn about the, you know, what they do, and just their whole environment is pretty exciting. So I think if you can get somebody to understand the model itself, you know, whether it's the culture or not the culture, it's a great business model. I mean, it really does work. And with that, those two pieces, the jump piece is what you want to start first. You start that one first, kind of get the ball rolling, get your trucks going, get your warehouse set up, you know, get some employees in the mix. And then maybe, depending upon how fast you kind of ramp up, but maybe a year later come back in with the moving piece, because it's got a little bit more disciplined and detailed structure about how you bid out the moves and all that kind of stuff. So I would say you don't do them both at the same time. That's my perspective. Somebody might want to do them both at the same time, but I think you're probably better to tier them in with the junk hauling first and then the moving coming second. So, but I think for even for me now, I would, you know, I tried to talk my son into buying one here just recently after I got Chris placed, but he just didn't want to get into something that he's already doing something different. So, I think for even older folks, it's not so much that environment piece that's going to be attractive to them as much as the business model itself is really pretty good.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else have any questions for Jerry?
Hey, tell you, it's Frank Dunn here. How are you?
Mr. Frank, how are you, bud?
Just swell. Just out of curiosity, I don't know if you've seen this the CNBC program. It's called Blue Collar Millionaires. And in the first episode...
Yeah, I watched it.
Okay, I mean, I just was curious if you've seen it. Is that... How it's reflected in the show, is that kind of indicative of your experience of the owners? Because it seems like their personality is very much evident when someone does, validation. How much are the owners of the franchise, of an influence on someone's buying into it?
Well, I think a good bit. And I think that's, like I say, early on, I think, you know, you get somebody to understand the business model, which Chris did. But what really got him was visiting with that franchisee over in Charleston, South Carolina, and going to Discovery Day and talking to Nick and Omar Jason Killo was my consultant that with them that helped me, and he was great at basically, you know, kind of keeping everything going and keeping him excited about some different things. But I do think that when you watch that Blue Collar Millionaire thing, you know, it was pretty a short little thing, but Nick is really the guy that's kind of out there in the front of it, and Omar is more the what I want to say is kind of the background guy, the guy, the nuts and the bolts guy, you know, kind of holds it all together and makes sure that what Nick's wanting to do is makes sense. But yeah, it's that's a good show for somebody to watch, just to see those two guys if you don't know them, because I was just really excited when I met them. I came back you know, really just kind of sold on the whole deal, and Chris just kind of came out of the blue. Like I said, my first conversation with him, I was in the car, and I was already thinking to myself, oh man, this guy, he's just, you know, I didn't want to turn him off because the guy that referred him to me came to my expo, and I didn't want to, you know, make him feel like I didn't want to follow up. So I kind of took it to the next level, and then that's when I kind of found out he inherited the money and could afford to do something, you know. So I'd say go to a discovery day if you got any, you know, qualms about anything, because it's a quick discovery day, but it's you get to see how neat it is to kind of see those young folks kind of do their own thing. Does that make sense?
Frank, yeah, are you with me?
Are you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Anyone else have any questions for Jerry?
Yeah, you know, if you got some after, or if you start to show it, please feel free to call me. Like I say, you know, when I first saw this, and that name just drove me nuts. And but then, you know, I've gotten into the branding piece and how they're using it for branding, and the colors they've got. I mean, they'll go through a whole litany of things about you know, why they pick the colors and how they stand, and they're attractive trucks and branding and colors and stuff, and so it all started from the University of Miami. You'll read about that too if you read the book. So I'd say get the book and read it if you want to learn some more about them too, because it's a pretty interesting book. I can send you one if you want one. If I want one, I can send them one, or get one from them. Just call them up and say I want one of your books.
Jerry?
Yes.
Jerry?
Yes.
This is Mark.
Hey, Mark,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Good. Everything's really faint on my end. I don't know why. I just comment on that video, and I would make a recommendation to people that before it's sent to their clients, they watch it first and then let the rep at College Hunks let them know if you want them to send it to the client or not. While I think it'd be great for young people who have aspirations of fame and fortune, old stodgy people like myself might see it as a turnoff. I found it rather distasteful myself because it focused on all of the toys and million-dollar homes and boats and Maseratis they're able to buy, and I don't remember one mention of any reinvestment in the business or support for franchisees or anything like that.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right. That show is not about, you know, talking about the business. It's talking about success. And if you look at that whole show, I've watched about six of them now just to kind of see what's out there. And all of them, you're going, you know, this is just a little much, you know. But the one this past week was a guy that was in the convenience store business up in Long Island. Did you see that one? Quite interesting, kind of what you're saying kind of turned me off a little bit. But so it's, the show's not really about franchising or business ownership. It's about how these guys did well, I guess. And so, but you're right. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I just think it should be sent out on a case-by-case basis, depending on who the client is, because it might be a turnoff for some people. I kind of viewed it as an infomercial for multi-level marketing or real estate investment schemes and things like that.
Yeah.
But that's just my opinion.
That's a good opinion. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, well, I thank you, Jerry Bird, and all of you out there who have joined our call. And I'll be posting the recording onto FrameConnect today.
Thanks.
Okay, good. Thank
you.
Call me if I can help, guys. Okay? All right, thank you. Okay.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry. Very helpful.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Jerry.